Almighty God, we thank you for your word to us today. May we hear your voice speaking to each one of us as we reflect upon the words that we've just heard. So open our hearts to your word, we pray. Amen. Okay, put your hands up if you've given something up for Lent. Oh. Fewer than I thought. Okay, hands down. Hands up. Well, this is a question for about six of us then. If you failed to keep your Lenten commitment, put your hand up. Oh. 4.5 days in, we're doing well. Pats on the back for everybody. Interesting, I thought there might have been more than that. Okay. Despite knowing what the word temptation means, I looked in my dictionary just to see what definitions were given for the word temptation. And for the actual word temptation, the noun, it says this: the act of tempting, or the state of being tempted. Or secondly, a person or thing that tempts. And then I looked at the verb tempt, and there it was a little more sort of more wordy. To entice to do something, especially something morally wrong or unwise. To allure or attract. To give rise to a desire in someone to do something or to dispose. To risk provoking. I've seen when I've read the first definition there, it was interesting that it says to entice to do something, especially something morally wrong or unwise. And I think sometimes we get in our minds temptation being something that's negative, not something that's necessary. So we think about Lent, we always give something up, and it's meant in some ways to not cause us difficulty, but challenge us in the 40 days of Lent to think about perhaps focusing more on God, upon Christ and his 40 days in the desert. And I think it would be fair to say, and I'm not going to ask you to put your hands up if you've ever been tempted, because I think if we're all honest, we'd probably all have to put our hands up to being tempted at some point or other, not necessarily negatively, it might be a positive thing that we were tempted to do or say or whatever. But we are in good company. At the end of the day, we're in excellent company when it comes to temptation, because the Luke reading suggested to us that Jesus was tempted, and for 40 days he went into the desert. So if Jesus was sat next to you today and I was to ask you the question, have you ever been tempted? His hand, probably along with most of ours, if not all, would go up. And so the reading that the lectionary compilers have put together today in this first Sunday of Lent are the words that Elizabeth read to us from Luke's Gospel a few moments ago. And in that reading we were told that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and was taken by the same Spirit into the desert, where he was tempted for 40 days. And there are three temptations that Jesus had that I want us to explore briefly this morning. The first was the temptation of food. Put your hands up if you've been tempted with food. Yes, I think probably a good proportion of us tempted at some point or other, at some time or other, with food. So the devil, we heard, said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "Man does not live on bread alone." And we have to remember the context of this passage, that Jesus was not eating for that duration of time. So that verse 2, part of verse 2 said he ate nothing during those days. So for 40 days, Jesus ate nothing. And at the end of them, we are told, as any of us would be, he was hungry. Food, I have to say, is a bit of a weakness of mine. So for the last two or three, well, probably more than two or three years, probably 5 or 6 years, I've tried to give up sweet things during Lent. And apart from the first year, I've succeeded every time. But this year, I thought I would take that a slight step further. So I've also given up bread for Lent as well. So I want to know whose idea it was to have bacon butties yesterday morning at the Fair Trade breakfast. And I think the two culprits are outside in junior church. So I enjoyed my plate of bacon yesterday. And I think it was Martin James said, that looks like a very odd bacon sandwich. It tasted like a very odd bacon sandwich as well. But one of Luke's main themes, which I've never really picked up on before, is teaching about our attitude to material things. So whilst Jesus is presenting here the temptation of food when he's going without food, I think there is the challenge for us in this passage today of being tempted by material things. And it is so easy, is it not, to want that most recent and up-to-date car. We might like a particular brand and we think, oh, they've brought a new model out, we'll just get that model of car. The newest computer, phone, or gadgets. And it's not that any of these things, Dot shaking her head there, that's a technophobia. Not that any of these things are wrong in themselves. It's not wrong to need or want a car, a phone, a computer, a tablet, a holiday, a bigger house, all those sorts of things. But it's when those things are placed where God should be in our lives, when they become the be-all and the end-all, if you like, of our lives, that we strive to want those material things, that God loses his right place in our lives. And the devil says to Jesus, knowing he wouldn't be eating for 40 days, and he gets that stone and he says to Jesus, turn that into bread. What is the point really in going without food for that 40 days? Turn that stone into bread. You've got the power to do it. God has given you the power to turn that stone into bread so that you can consume it and be stronger for this period in the desert. And likewise, there's nothing wrong with Jesus turning that stone into bread. If he needed food, he could do it. If he was desperate, he could do it. But the hunger reminded Jesus of some way of focusing on his Father's desire for his life. And that's why, in many ways, we give something up at Lent. It's to help us to focus on this period of time of Jesus in the desert. And I know people sometimes argue it's not a biblical concept. And it's not. You won't find giving things up for Lent in the Bible. But that's not to say it's not a good practice to help us to focus our minds upon God. And that's why often it is meant to be challenging. It is meant to be difficult. Because it helps us to focus on what God wants from us and God in our lives. And the best weapon Jesus shows us in each of the temptations to use against the devil's schemes is the Bible, the Word of God. And Jesus does that each time in each of the temptations. And he does it here. Man does not live on bread alone. In other words, get away from me. But Jesus was in that place where he was focusing upon God as the devil was allowed to tempt him. So food was the first thing and material things as well. The second temptation can be summed up under the term power. The second test Jesus faces about power. How often are people lured by power and status? And having failed on his first temptation, the devil has a go at Jesus with another ploy. And the devil led Jesus to a high place and showed him the expanse of the world. I don't know where that high place was. Might have been up a hill. And he saw, Jesus was shown the whole vista, the whole known world perhaps at that time. And the devil rather arrogantly says to him, all this can be yours. And all authority over it can be yours if you just give in to me. I think this is a temptation that we're often fall foul of as human beings. It can happen in our work lives that we want that promotion. Do we need that promotion? We want that better job at work. Is that because we will then have power over others? I'm sure we've all met people whose the power vested in them has gone to their heads and they've abused that power. And as a minister and a church leader, I often think of the fact that Jesus came to serve, not to be served. As Graham Kendrick puts it so well in his hymn, The Servant King. And I think sometimes we need reminding of that. For we are weak and frail human beings. Our status is not in our abilities, our job title, our salary level. Our status comes from God. And as a minister, I never want to take my position for granted. As a preacher, I'm sure all the other preachers in church will agree with me on this, I always feel the burden of responsibility. Every time I stand on this platform in this church or any other platform in any other church, always on my mind is that these words are not my words. I believe these are the words of God, and if they ever became my words, I would want to hang it up and end my role. And Jesus challenges the devil again at the end of this second temptation about power. It is written, Jesus said, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Jesus saying, I am not the one with all the power. There is one more powerful than I. And it's him, his Father, our God, that he chooses to serve. And for us today, we are no more or no less important than the person sat next to us, in front of us, or behind us. The person we perhaps share or shared a desk with at work. The person or people who maybe are under us if we're in a position of authority. I, as minister, am no more important or powerful than any of you in the congregation. Our musicians are no more important, as vital a role as you take, than anybody else in church. Our junior church leaders, and that could go on and on and on and on and on. For our status is in who we are as followers of Jesus, not on what we do or the position we hold. So the next time we are tempted to put somebody on a pedestal, when we ourselves are tempted, or others put us on a pedestal and climb down from it and kneel down before God and confess anew our right place before him. And the third temptation that Jesus faces is one really of security. Verses 9 to 12 of the reading that we heard a few moments ago. And in this temptation, the devil takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple. Perhaps at this point, the devil is getting frustrated, for he's not been able to show any chink in the armour of Jesus. And he's failed in his attempts to tempt Jesus off the path that he's set upon. And he suggests to Jesus, if you're so committed to this God, throw yourself off this temple and let God save you. And even here, the devil quotes the Bible. Psalm 91, as we have it. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a rock. In other words, God will not let you come to any harm. So in the devil's final test for Jesus, or at least his final test for now, is his last throw of the dice. Jesus hungry, perhaps tired. Both of those things can show us weakness, can bring out weakness in us. But Jesus' commitment to God's word is strong. And he says to him, do not put the Lord your God to the test. God never promised, and he never promises us an easy life. And the reading from Deuteronomy highlights some of that to us, because Israel's journey of faith was a challenging and a difficult and a painful one. And they are encouraged to remember God's goodness, God's promises, God's faithfulness, and to live out that it's been lived out by many faithful women and men in the pages of Scripture. The people of God, when they entered the Promised Land, had to go to the temple, wherein the priest, they had God's representative on earth. And they were to offer or present their offerings to God as part of their worship. So friends, today I want us all to commit afresh to putting God at the centre of all that we do, within the walls of this church and outside of them. May we hold fast to the word of God in Scripture. And like it was for Jesus, may the word of God be central to all that we do as we live and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So in this period of Lent, whether we've given anything up or not, whether we've taken something on, perhaps, or not, may we be committed as we are invited to be followers of Jesus, faithful followers of God. May we commit ourselves afresh to him, to his praise and glory. Amen. I want to invite us to have a few moments of quiet reflection. We're going to listen to an instrumental version of the song, I Will Offer Up My Life, that will come on now.